Dear Dhamma friends, the time for our day's Dhamma talk. To start the Dhamma talk, everyone may consent with three times Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Namo tasse bhagavito arahato sammā sambuddhasse. Namo tasse bhagavito arahato sammā sambuddhasse. නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ චත්තාරෝ මේ භික්කවේ ආහාරා භූතානං වා සත්තානං වා තිතියා සම්බවේසීනං වා අනුග්ඝාය අනුග්ඝස් අනුග්ඝා සත්තායාති චි Dear my friends, today is our third day in the retreat, and accordingly the third Dhamma talk. And as we discussed in the very first day, we are going to take this each day as a series of Dhamma talks. As a common topic, we have taken the Phagguna Sutta. Sometimes it is been named as Moriya Phagguna. And you find in the Sanghita Nikaya, Nidanavanga Sanghita. They are at the beginning, the Buddha give an introductory opening statement as to, for monks, there are these four nutriments for the maintenance of the beings that already came into birth, or for the assistance of that being seek to become. So this is the way the Buddha, the omniscient knowledge of the Buddha, look at the living beings. There are four nutriments. They keep on running this samsaric cycle or this birth and death in this perpetual way. The very first kind of food is the kapalikara ahara, that is edible food or materialistic food, gross or subtle, that it's very conventional and anyone can understand. For a being to sustain, being to continue, they should have food, and that means in the most gross form, what we eat, what we drink and what we breathe. And there also it is little bit more than that. That says that not only what we take for the nutriment in terms of the digestive tract, but even for the visual objects, the sounds, the smell, the contact, and the mental objects, all are, mental objects are not counted. All the others are considered as materialistic kind of food, and without that there won't be a balanced growth, balanced maintenance. So therefore, one, as far as living in a healthy way, try all the time to feed all these sense organs, and we consider this as the most primary duties of oneself. And as far as we are keep on feeding, the vicious cycle, the perpetual cycle is continuing. And if at all we are concerned about, this is the what we can obviously see, and that is the what fertilizing or fueling this samsaric journey. But the Buddha take this as a gateway opening, and so that ultimately he brings us to non-material kind of foods. They are three in numbers, fueling more in a subtle manner. Unless otherwise you are being guided and directed, you will never think the other kinds are so supportive, so much fueling this vortex, this samsaric vortex, namely the passo dutiyo, dutiyo passo, that is contact, not only the visual object, sound, smell, taste and the touch, but they have to come and impinge. They have to come avenued with the each and every sense organs, that impingement, the impression is also important thing for the life to sustain. In the West, they have done an experiment whereby they have kept some puppies or cats, and you know, when they are born, they are blind, their eyes are not open. So usually the mother cat keep them in the darkness. So what the scientists they have done is, they have led the puppies to open the eyes and keep them in 100% darkness 3 more consecutive days. And meanwhile check their brain development. Their brain development being damaged by 40% because of lack of light and the visual impressions by the time the eyes are open. So therefore the growth of the healthy mind, the healthy brain, the impingements, the impressions are very, very important. Otherwise, our circuit in the brain will not be complete. Maturated, they have become mature. So therefore, each and every time we get contacts. Yet another interesting observation they have made for the astronauts, if they are go beyond this gravitational forces and going to live 1 month in the atmosphere, or not the atmosphere, in the sphere where there is no gravity, their bone structure will weakened by 1%. If they are going to live in the space for 2 months, their bone structures will be weakened by 2%. And if they are going to live continuously to a certain extent, when they come back to the earth, they can't sustain their body. Their skeleton will be crashed. So whenever they come back after months of space traveling, they have to undergo a special kind of vibration treatment so that the bones has to get the necessary impressions, the impact, otherwise they will not be reinforced. So that indicates in each and every step we are walking, we give a signal that we are living, and the bone structures will be rejuvenated. So each and every rejuvenated, each and every also important. That is what yesterday we discussed. And today we are going to get the Sanchetana, Tatiyo. The third one is Sanchetana, that is sometimes given as sankhara. Sankhara, sanchetana, abhisankhara, abhisanchetana are being considered as synonyms in the Pali canon. So it has been translated not well properly with number of shades of meaning, because the sanchetana or sankhara, even within the Pali canon, you have number of shades of meanings. So when they are translating into the Western psychology, they, in simple terms, they lost. They really can't grasp the idea. But anyway, they are trying their best with the recent development in the neuroscientific and the psychological developments. They try to understand this sankhara or sanchetana. And as I mentioned, even in the Pali canon, there are a number of shades of meaning. For those who have some acquaintance with the Pali canon, if you take from the Sutta Pitaka, the discourses, you find it in the dependent origination, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. That the ignorance at the root cause, the sankhara is the effect. Due to the ignorance, we have choice. We are choosing. We never be happy with the what is given. Or in the sense, we are never happy with the present moment. We always try to select something without understanding the disadvantage of rejecting. So simple theory is, when you select one thing, that means you are rejecting the balance. So within a given setup, if you have 1001 of one options or alternatives, due to our ignorance, due to our narrow-mindedness, due to our rut, due to our likings and dislikings, due to our personality traits, we vehemently select one. And we call this is our human right, our individual capacity, capability, richness, so I can select it. Of course, yes. But we fail to understand by selecting one, we are rejecting more forever. So that is because of the ignorance, that is what we call sankhara. By selecting, we reshape the combination. We never be happy with what is given. So therefore, as far as we are living, we have our habit of the choice, choose in nature. We do manipulation, we select, and by selecting you change the combination. So this is one shade of meaning with respect to the dependent origination. The other one is sabbe sankhara anicca, sabbe sankhara dukkha. So whatever the fabrication, whatever the will, whatever the volition, whatever the intention you are imposing, implementing, at last going to end up with suffering, leading to suffering, leading to impermanence. So therefore, we claim and we fight for our will, we fight for our creativity, we fight for our fabricating capacity, volition and intention, everything, and ultimately when we implement it, if we manage to see the beginning, the middle and the end, we are end up with suffering, end up with impermanence. So therefore, all manifestations ultimately ending up with this. So when the Buddha coming out very boldly about the sabbe sankhara dukkha, sabbe sankhara anicca, the first and foremost beings got frightened was the devas, it seems, the celestial beings. Because they thought they are more, they have more longevity in their life, and they, every facility they get as a bonus. So therefore they tend to think they are permanent beings. Their endowments and the facilities are permanent. So therefore they were under the impression they are better off than the human being, they are long lasting, longevity, and within that also the early beings, early devas, early celestial beings are much longer in their longevity than the latter part. So therefore the early devas appearing are more with the notion of permanent nature. The Brahmas are worst because they are living still longer, so they feel more superior when compared to the humans as well as the devas, so therefore they think they are the permanent. So whenever the Buddha to emerge and when he is declaring sabbe sankhara dukkha, sabbe sankhara anicca, the devas and brahmas become so frightened, it seems. Because Buddha never say something questionable. He is very sure what he is talking, and they are shaken by the terms of the Buddha, the preaching of the Buddha. So likewise, in a society, those who are rich, those who are well-to-do, those who are with the political powers, they are the one to accept this theory, accept this principle, the last. Because they are living with an idea, they are thriving, they are their power, and therefore if the system is going to long last, they will be ever in power, they will be ever rich, they will be ever controlling kind of thing. So therefore these are the people hate the Buddhism, the teaching of the Buddha. They can't understand. But it is lucky if we can born into a middle class. Because we can understand in their correct perspective. If you are going to born into the poor classes, we don't have time, we don't have intelligence and kind of thing to study this. If you are going to have a rich strata, they also do not tally with happy with sabbe sankhara dukkha sabbe sankhara anicca. So the Buddha says, whenever the Buddha come and declare sabbe sankhara anicca sabbe sankhara dukkha, he given an example. He says when the lion, he find a comfortable den and take a long nap. So when he becomes hungry, they get up and get out and stretch their arms and kind of thing, and three times give a roar, lion roars. That means each and every being in the forest come to know, now the lion is in hunger, the first person will be his prey. So every water beings plunging into water, those who are living in caves, run into the caves, all the birds are flying into the sky to escape it. Because no escape, if the lion is coming, the very first thing, he jump and eat. He says, even the royal elephants living in the king's inner court, they start to defecate what they have eaten raw. When this lion is giving a roar. Likewise, all the beings, when the Buddha is telling sabbe sankhara dukkha, sabbe sankhara anicca, everyone is being threatened. Because everyone is fighting for their will. Everyone is fighting for their volition, intention, motivation. And to learn that each and every will, every volition, every motivation leading to suffering, leading to uncertainty, is something difficult to digest. So that may be one reason the sankhara, the term, very difficult to understand. I think mostly it is not happy to understand. Not the difficulty terminology. They don't happy to understand because it threatens your rut, your likings and dislikings, your habits, your personality traits. So therefore, it has been limited to only for the practitioners, yogis. That is also understanding very, very in a slow manner. So therefore, even in the interpretations, it has been neglected, not dealt properly, maybe for the last 1,000 years. So therefore, interpretations and others always try to preserve. There's something permanent. So therefore, nothing to worry. You can be a Buddhist, you can practice, and you can have this and that dreams. But if you are really, really studying the term meaning or the concept of sankhara, it is really revolutionary. It is really radical in the sense. So therefore, last for the 30-40 years, the new interpretations start to come. But it is very obviously going against the grain. Obviously going against our common conceptual concepts. our conventional values, so therefore one has to take time to understand the sankhara. It is the third meaning is the Buddha enumerates sankhara as the out of five aggregates, the fourth one. That is called kaya indriya, vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana. Skanda, rupa skanda, vedana skanda, sanya skanda, sankhara skanda, vijnana skanda, aggregates, five aggregates, sankhara is taken the fourth one. And when we are taking meditation like Anapanasati, for example, if you are following the Anapanasati Sutta, or Girimananda Sutta, or Rahulavada Sutta, they are the Sankhara appears a completely different pragmatic and practical way. Kaya Sankhara, Vachi Sankhara and Mano Sankhara. So, I thought of today dealing the term Sankhara in terms of the four shades of meaning. The very first one is due to our ignorance only we are choosing. What the Sankhara teaching us, or what the Buddha in terms of Sankhara teaches us is, if we have a choiceless awareness, it's one of the best interpretation, best definition for the mindfulness. And not only that, it gives a kind of a notion to understand what does it mean by Nibbana. Over there, if you know the choiceless awareness, Nibbana is very close under your very nose. But as far as you have choice, as far as you have likings and dislikings, as far as you are preserving your personality traits, you are getting far and far away from the Nibbana as well as from the simple meaning of mindfulness. So therefore, always we have to understand, we are rushing, we are running, we are vehemently jumping to have our favorite, our likings, our choice. And we don't know by jumping, but vehement grabbing into this choice, how much other options we are losing, we are rejecting. And so much so you have love and the desire for your choice, and invariably you are showing how much hatred you have to the what is not selected or what is rejected. So the Buddha says people are selecting things according to their faith, according to what they have listened, according to their own desire, according to their argumenting, and according to their views. These are the five criteria where we usually implement our choice, our likings and dislikings. And Buddha challenged all the five with a simple attack. He says, you may select this is falling into your faith. But the Buddha says, it has its own weakness. What you have selected, telling this is your faith, may be free of the truth. What you have rejected, that is not your faith, may be content with the truth. So that's the danger of faith. And if you are going to say, this is what I have heard, and therefore my teacher and teacher's teacher and teacher's teacher's teacher, they are coming in lineage and that is what I heard, that is what I believe. The Buddha says, within that what you have heard, anusava, you may not have the truth, but you have rejected that is not belongs to our what I have heard, may carry the truth. The other thing is, the likings and dislikings. You select, this is my liking. But the Buddha challenge you and ask you to be radically reflect and think, what you selected as your liking may be free of truth. What you rejected that is not you like, me have the truth. For example, the diabetic patients, they are very happy with sugar taste. They keep on eating, but ultimately what happens? They are accelerating their symptoms, and that is not going to give any answer. Even if you do not like it, you have to moderate with that. So, 1001 examples you can give. Exactly the way, by argumenting, if you are going to say, I won the argument, I am the winner, therefore, you will be happy. But the Buddha says, even if you are the winner by the argumenting, the truth will not be there that you have argumented for. What you have rejected by argument may be enriched with the truth. And your views, exactly the way you take, this is my view, and you believe that truth must be within your view, but Buddha says it is maybe otherwise. So therefore, when and where you have a choice, when and where you are implementing the choice, you must understand the danger of rejection. And whenever the avijja is going to lead to the sankhara, and sankhara is deciding your mind. So therefore, mind is a slave of the sankhara, and not that sankhara is a slave of the mind. Sankhara is of course a mental factor, but it is so powerful, it is the filter, it is the screen, and whatever the things happens in the given combination, you are always partial. You are always with the favoritism. You are always biased to your faith, to what you have listened, and what you are liking and disliking, your argumenting method and your view. So therefore, whenever the mindfulness comes into being, you are be aware of this narrow-minded nature, your habitual patterns, and therefore you are always be alert towards your dispositions. So therefore, usually when you are advancing along this spiritual life and the religious life, we take the faith, the energy, the mindfulness, the concentration and the wisdom. Saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, panya. So you have to carefully understand only the mindfulness maintain the balanced nature, all the others are intrinsically balanced, biased. If you become too much of faith, definitely you are paralyzed. If you are too much of wisdom, there is also bias, paralyzed. If you are too much of concentration, too much of energy, all have their own intrinsic danger, but the mindfulness is the only factor which has no peer, and it is leading to infinitum, and it has the capacity to see the biased nature of the others. So therefore, when the avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, when the paticca samuppada or this dependent origination happens, you can understand how the mindfulness can cut through this vicious cycle. But unfortunate enough, the countries like in Sri Lanka, though we claim we are in the Dharma Dvipa or the island of Dhamma, no one gives the proper due attention for the mindfulness. They are very happy to be. They are happy to claim we are. We have enough faith. We have enough wisdom. We have enough energy. We have enough concentration. Hardly you mention even the mindfulness. But you have to understand, as far as the sankhara is concerned, if you are not giving the proper place, the proper chair for the mindfulness, you are born biased, you are born paralytic. So mindfulness is the one going to bring you back, going to give you the proper perspective. And therefore, when you are studying the sankhara, you have to invariably employ the mindfulness. So, second shade of meaning of the sankhara is that sabbe sankhara dukkha, sabbe sankhara anicca. So they are, the sankhara is taking the meaning of sanchetana. Chetana means volition. Sometimes it has been translated as fabrication, mental formation and dispositions. So due to this volition, we are never happy with the combination already arisen or combination given, combination prevailing. We have our own volition, whatever the thing, whatever the cross-section going to happen, we have our own ways and to how to adjust it, how to improve it or make it efficient, all the kind of terminology we are always manipulating, and this may the driving power is the sankhara or chetana. So how can we make a dynamic life, creative life, productive life without chetana is a hell of a question. So how the vipassana is going to give this answer? Very difficult to learn in a linear system. You have to have a radical reflection, radical method to understand. One simple statement you can take to understand is the Buddha himself, he says, the Aryo Attangiko Maggo, the Noble Eightfold Path, is a sankhara. It's a manipulation. It's a created one. But he says, for his omniscient knowledge, this is the least sankhara he can think about. So therefore, he uses it in order to get rid of the gross sankhara with the help of Eight Noble Path. And there you replace the gross by subtle, and likewise, like manner, you go to the utmost subtlety, and then you find it is easy to give up once you go to this subtlety. So therefore, even the Noble Eightfold Path, you have to understand as sankhara, that Buddha manipulated it, or manifested it, or created it, or formulated it out of compassion, in order to get rid of gross sankhara. So therefore, I will come into the subject in detail when you go to the next shade of meaning in the sankhara. So therefore, you have to understand that meditation means, vipassana means, you have a volition, you have a will to end the will. You have a volition to end the volition. And that volition is the biggest volition, most potential volition, most powerful volition. And many are not ready for that. Many are not radical enough for that. Many are not dynamic enough for that. So Buddha is the one came out with, and he says, wish to give up. You develop kind of a desire, kind of a wish, kind of a volition to give up. So that we call spiritual. That we call religious, that we call vipassana, that we call insight. So that is what happens in the meditation. So when we go to kaya sankhara, vachi sankhara and mano sankhara, that with that kind of the introduction, you will have a very lucid touch, lucid understanding how the Buddha use this kaya sankhara, vachi sankhara and mano sankhara in a strategic way to give up gross for the sake of subtle, to give up the subtle for the sake of subtlest. Take the kaya sankhara. If you are to interpret the meaning of kaya sankhara, you have to refer back to the Chula Vedala Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya. They are in the dialogue. The Vikkhuni Dhammadina, the sister Dhammadina says, Kaya Sankara means in breath and out breath. That means to the living body, this is the bare minimum or most intrinsic to have. You can't maintain the body living without at least the in-breath and out-breath. All the other activities are on top of that. So therefore, when you are reducing your activities to the bare minimum, you will end up with in-breath and out-breath. So how the Buddha going to use this in giving meditation instructions? He says, Aranyagatova, Rukhamulagatova, Sunyagaragatova. Either you have to go to a forest, or under a tree, or go to a solitude place. So that means, you are not going to entertain the eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body. Or pet ideas. Philosophizing. So these places give more and more chances for you to be introvert rather than extrovert. When you go instead, if you go to a capital cities in the so-called developed countries, you are so overt, so you are losing to yourself, you are amusing yourself, you are using the escapism, you feel like you are entertaining, but definitely unmindful, you are losing yourself. Instead, when you go to the forest or under the tree or the solitude place, you have a fair chance to come in. Okay, now we come to this meditation center, and it is partly resembling forest, and you can sit under the tree, or you can come into this meditation hall, that is a solitude place. This is called Sunyagara because this is free of people with sense desire. If anyone come to this place with the sense desire, he feel odd. And the meditators find he is not fit into the group. So therefore this is usually being attracted by the people, those who are meditating. So now, once selected, and I would, let me say, to come into this place, how much time, how much money, how much organization, and how much the people involved. So having come to that place, you Buddha asked to develop mindfulness, sit cross-legged, close your eyes, don't listen to the sounds, don't entertain the smells, taste, and don't move the body in order to have intentions. So no intentional movements, you keep the body. So thereby eye faculty is no more active, you are not provoking. Ear, the nose, the tongue, the body. That is why you have to keep the body in a comfortable posture so that it can maintain by itself. And then you just observe the relaxation. Not going to entertain seeing, hearing, smelling, touching or movements. And when you are there, there's a fair chance the mind to become introvert. That means be aware of here, now I am. So it's a great achievement. Now for the first time, the mind becomes introvert, and even then if you go for one split second, one thought moment, you will never understand you are in or out, because it is kind of a novelty. So you to understand that you are in, or you are here, now I am, it must be consecutive thought moments, at least four thought moments, then only you can be aware that you are here, now I am. So now the great challenge is to continue that. Be as long as possible so that you are happy or contented. Be here and now. So you reduce to the bare minimum and look at what is happening. Then only, if you are lucky, you are bound to see the in-breath and out-breath. So in order to come to here and now, you have to sacrifice all your likings and dislikings, rest of the world, yesterday, tomorrow, other places, other your dear and near one, even the people sitting around you. That is how you come into the here and now. And when you come there, is the breath going to manifest as the most conspicuous and the most prominent thing? Now you are dealing it with, you are going to buy that idea and you are just giving up here and now I am, and instead be aware, be mindful, be diligent, be vigilant with the in-breath and out-breath. So they are easily you can understand, when you be aware on the breath, your basic attention can be limited to the upper part of your body. Because metabolically, the breathing happens in the upper part of the body, so easily you can give up even the lower part of your body. This is called the one-pointedness, the attention which was spread all over your body. Now, slowly, slowly you take into the upper part of the body. And now you feel in-breath and out-breath, and they are also, I advise not to do forced breathing. Because forced breathing means you are provoking the sankhara, provoking intentional work. No intentional work, effortlessly let the breathing happen, you be aware. And then in order to sharpen your mindfulness, to make the one-pointedness sharp, the teachers may ask to see what is the touching point. Even without that you are okay, but that indicates that you are still funneling, focusing to one particular point, it select by the prominency. What is the most conspicuous point? What is the most prominent point? What is the benefit of selecting the touching point is, once you select it, you can forget about the whole body. Now we be aware of only the touching point, so you have to come to the body, you give up the world. To come to the upper part of the body, you gave up the lower part of the body. Now you come to the one touch point, touching point, you gave up the whole body. So only the breath, in breath and out breath. Now Kaya Sankara is really, really, really refined and defined. Now when the further, if I have to take you further, when the in breath happens, you must be completely forget about the out breath. When the out-breath happens, you must be completely unmindful about the in-breath. That is how you made up your mindset, one thing at a time and that done well. So they are in-breath to out-breath, out-breath to in-breath. So you are aware of the breath. Now you are aware of the Kaya Sankara. Kaya Sankara as it is, not mixed up. Not smeared with others, so that means you are continue to observe in-breath and out-breath. So many of you will agree with me, if you can keep that breath through to type continuously, the breath, very breath itself is going to become subtle. So that means Kaya Sankara also now slowly, 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 slowly fading off. It did not happen in your first sitting. It did not happen in your first breath. But for me to continue with this trend, I am telescoping the whole story into a shot. So we'll say someone understand this calming down, going to the subtle and subtlest breath means you are weaning off, tapering off the sankhara to the last drop. So the Buddha says, first sato vasa sati, sato pasa sati. Mindfully he or she is breathing in, mindfully he or she is breathing out. And then going to see the gross breath at the beginning, the long in-breath, long out-breath. And then it gives rise to short in-breath, short out-breath. That means everything is now calming down. Freezing and settling down. And then he asks us to see whole breath body. So now that means the breath is face to face. You can see the beginning of the breath, the middle of the breath, and the end of the breath. In breath, out breath. And you see the whole breath as a wave. That means you are face to face
And then he says, Pasambhayam kaya sankaram asasishamiti sikkati. Pasambhayam kaya sankaram asasishamiti sikkati. The sankara term comes in B. Pasambhayam means the coming down, the settling down. Kaya sankara means in breath and out breath. So the Buddha says, now due to your good effort, continuous experimenting, you will see the breath is becoming calm down, and they are, don't disturb it. Don't try to force breathe. Don't try to open your eyes. Don't entertain doubts as I am going wrong way or correct way, what is happening. So therefore not to entertain doubts. And let that calming down to happen in an undisturbed manner. So that is your facility. That is the way you are facilitating the breath, the meditation, the mindfulness, the concentration. So when that happens, you will understand, experience. At a time you can feel no more breath. But still, body is intact. You can be aware. You are mindful. And you come up to that level, now you come to a calming down of your breath body or calming down of your bodily activities, kaya sankhara. So this is a very critical, good hurdle into meditation. Because when this is happening, if you are not well instructed, definitely you are going to develop boredom, monotony, sleepiness, entertaining doubts, fear, uncertainty, lost-like feeling, outcasted-like feeling, cornered, and lost, all the kind of things. Because throughout the samsara, we were proliferating sankhara. Now for the first time, you are calming down. You are not really calming down, it is happening. But only the thing you have to facilitate is, don't disturb it. Let it calm down amidst of the fearfulness, the uncertainty, doubts, boredom, monotony. So, when we are, and this is not only the distraction. The day you manage to calm down, going through this, all the negative emotions like monotonous and fearfulness and uncertainty, when it happened, the huge, hilarious, the rapturous feeling, gladness, and the pleasure can come. That is the other extreme. So now you are going through two extremes. One part is disheartening, discouraging, and entertaining doubts, or sometimes falling into sleep. But when you are managing to the other side, you will be with the lightness and light feeling and all the kind of thing happens. So one has to manage, just like in a tightrope walking, not to fall into this side or that side, or otherwise walking on a footbridge. You have space only for one foot, so without falling into the cliff, you have to walk there. So that is why the Buddha considered this as one of the hurdles, because it is not only physical or corporeality or bodily, you have the proper mindset to understand the middle part. Otherwise you will either fallen into the trap of the fearfulness or gladness. So we will say, now you managed to go there, that means you are skillful in calming down the breath body. That means your corporeality is now well managed. There is no more sankhara, no kaya sankhara. Breathing happens in a very subtlest, bare minimum, least frictional part, and every power line is now aligned, and you can feel it, you can entertain it, you can understand the richness, the contentment, the satisfaction, as far as you are not manipulating it. as far as not you are poking your fingers into it, as far as no self to manipulate, as far as no conceit, they have to say, I am happier, I am achieved, and all the kind of things. As far as no desire for this calming down, you come to a kind of a hurdle, or you are successfully going to the other side, and then that very subtle state has to go through yet another very subtle exercise. After that, when you are reading according to the Anapanasati Sutta, Asambhaya Kaya Sankara, and then you will be exposed to the PG Patisangvedi Asasi Samiji Sikkati, Sukha Patisangvedi Asasi Samiji Sikkati. That means, if you manage to not to entertain the boredom, the fearfulness and kind of thing, the rapture and the fear, the pleasure will come, and there you have to understand not to get trapped into that, not to get magnetized into that. And if you can walk like a tightrope walking, then again the Buddha introduced Chitta Sankara Parisangveti Asasi Samiti Sikkati. Now the Kaya Sankara is calmed down, at that space, now the Chitta Sankara is going to manifest. It was already suppressed and hidden due to the gross Kaya Sankara. Now you manage to meditate through Kaya Sankara, then the Chitta Sankara going to become, it is bubbling up. So Chitta Sankara, if you go back and refer to the Chullavedana Sutta, it says feeling and perception. Feeling and the perception are called Chitta Sankara. So once the body becomes calmed down and fixed or frozen, your mind going to proliferate different kind of feelings. So all over the body you feel like water dropping and the creatures are crawling and the one part of the muscle dance and some part is very light, the part is very heavy and the heat is going to manifest and the coldness going to manifest and unexpected thing can happen. That means the feelings, the agglomeration of feelings going to manifest in the freelance way. So you are going to experience the body in the feeling sphere and you can hardly make it out whether it is real feeling or mind made. Because these appear like more than real feeling because it is mind made things. So therefore you have to maintain your integrity in the mindfulness to see whenever the body become calm down or body manifestations or body activities calm down, these things get a better chance, the feeling, and the other one is the perception. When the perception going to become manifested or going to become proliferate, you are going to develop almost like extrasensory perception. You feel like you have a divine eye, divine ear, and you can see other places, you can feel other people, and your dear and near one will come and tell you, and you are going to see Deva, Brahma. You take everything into grant, thinking it is reality, but you hardly you will understand this is a manifestation of perception. So, if you are to be skillful in the Chitta Sankara, you have to understand at that moment, according to your likings and disliking, according to your personality traits, one or the other will be specialized. Whatever may be specializing will be a bottleneck for you. And the good side of it is, it will really, really tell you, who am I? Because your veil has been removed. Your bodily manifestation are now being really frozen. Just like a patient has taken into the theater and has given the anesthesia and now cut open. Now you can see what you have already seen in the MRI scan and the X-ray. You can see now. in reality, this is what the manipulation is. This is the malfunctioning. So that malfunctioning, many people take it as an end out. They misunderstand it. So they are, one has to really understand this is a chitta sankhara. It is getting an upper hand when everybody becomes calm. So if the many, the simple, straightforward exercise, the advice is to calm down them, don't proliferate it, just like the breath. In order to calm down it, only one thing you have to do, don't manipulate, don't have volition, don't have will, don't have a intention. Even if it is going to activate, you have to assume the duty of a neutral observer, the distance observer. So when it is happening, then you are not no more fooling it, not aggravating it, they start to calm down. But not at the very first. It will take sometimes the increase in trend, sometimes the decrease in trend, each and every trend. You have to train yourself in such a way, this is not me, this is not mine, this is not my soul. So that is the biggest generosity you have to do in the life. Because these things are novelty, these things are creative, these things are magnetizing. So while even though they have their this kind of a cunning capacity, the Buddha has given the clear instruction, don't assume, don't react, don't be choosy. Still maintain the choiceless awareness, unassuming way, non-reactional way, you are observing just as a neutral observer, just as a distance observer. So when it is happening, you can understand what is the kind of mind, what's the kind of liking and dislike, what's the kind of personality you have. But if you are going to believe it, you are reconfirming your age-old ignorance, likings and dislikings. What you have to do is observe as the Buddha is observing at you. Buddha is free of all the kind of thing. He is free of ignorance. He can see and still be detached. So therefore, for the second time when the Sankhara appear in the Chitta Sankhara, it's a big challenge, and only well-trained, well-instructed, prepared yogi can take this challenge. But for my observation, not a single one managed to tackle it in the first sight. First sight, each and everyone following it to try. But it is not a personal mistake. This, even if you have fallen into the trap of these manipulations, it is happening for only meritorious, skillful yogis. Even this mistake happens only for the meritorious, the potential, skillful yogis. So therefore, they must not be discouraged on that. They must understand the real methodology, how to tackle, how to walk along this footbridge without falling into the this or the other side. So therefore, at that time, you will really going to understand who the Buddha is, what is the Dhamma is, what is the meaning of understanding this direct touch means. Not at the Kaya Sankhara level, only the dramatic, vigilant, diligent, immediate thing happen when you are reaching this Chitta Sankhara, and your vitality, the diligence, the vigilance, you will never believe that you have this kind of potential in your mind. Because so far you were choosing. You are selecting this good, this is bad, this is auspicious, this is unauspicious, this is just, this is unjust, this is Dhamma, this is Adhamma. But at that level, you are beyond your moral level. You are going to go beyond this duality. You are going to see the absolutes. You are going to see the unified truth. For that you have to sorry, but give up the likings and dislikes. Give up your personality traits. So this is the real challenge. But that does not mean the immoral people can go up even at that level. That does not mean the unconcentrated people can go at that level. Unwise people can go. But even if you have the morality, even if you have the concentration, even you have the wisdom, to put it in a radical way, you have to give up your whole concept of morality, concentration and the wisdom. You must let the phenomena to run by itself. That is what we call the wisdom. It is not a manifested one. It is what is going to happen. So that is the point, you withdraw your ego. Knowingly or unknowingly. And you withdraw your comparative conceit. And you are not going to implement your desire. Let the phenomena to run by itself. So when that happened, for the first time, you are experiencing what does it mean by living. In the full-fledged living. You can't go out of mindfulness. You are invariably in the mindfulness. Invariably in the diligence. Invariably in the vigilance. Immediate with the phenomena. And so much so, you are ever ready for the next moment to accept as and when it arises. Without any manipulation, without a value judgment, without any assumption, without any reaction, ready. So that means each and every moment you get rejuvenated. You have to accept anything, expect anything, make the capacities there. So that is how Passambaya Chitta Sankara happens. At the beginning you Chitta Sankara Padishamri, you understand what does it mean by the Chitta Sankara, that is how the feelings happen, how the perception happen, how the manipulations happens, Sankara happens. So you behave like a eyed person, but like a blind. Even you are a person with good ears, even you are listening, you behave like a deaf. And if you have all the capacities, you behave like a paralyzed person. Even you have a prolific, good knowledge, rational knowledge, dynamic, you behave like an idiot. At the best, you behave like a corpse. And that is the moment you are living fully. This is a contradiction. This is the thing. The beginner will never believe, but when you are developing your capacity, developing your immunity, developing your uplifted qualities, our mind can get over the boat. While behaving like a corpse, you are living 100% fully. So vigilant, so diligent. So this is the way we are capacitization, or expanding, or diversifying our human mind by not doing, not reacting, unassuming, non-reactional way. So therefore, the moment you understand the Sankhara, you see, when you are not meditating up to that capacity, how much manipulations you are doing, each and every moment, you are like a stage player, you are acting, you are showing off, you are advertising. You are living on others' eyes, and ultimately the moment you are going to die, you will understand whole drama is finished. You try to satisfy the whole world, but you do not know who you are. That is why the Buddha says, if you have any kind of well-being, idea of well-being and compassion to yourself, take little time and try to understand who am I. In order to understand who am I, first you have to anesthetize the body, the corporeality, the materiality, the kaya sankara. Then only the drama starts. But it's a very vivid. It's a very challenging. It's a very revolutionary. It is very atomizing. And some people may say destructive. And when you reduce to the last drop, last atom, and last thing, you will be just energy. It has no boundary. It has no maintenance problem. And you are merging into the energies, and you can, at a time, some split seconds, you can experience that you are merging into, you are becoming oceanic. The river flows into the ocean, and then onward, losing its identity. As far as the water in the river is concerned, it is not brisk. When you go to the sea, it becomes salt water. And soon more the river flow into the, merge into the sea, it loses its identity. Just becomes seawater. Exactly like you have nothing to maintain. Everything is happening. So when that happens, it is worth calling vipassana. It is worth calling steadfast mindfulness. It is worth calling you are in absolutes, but not hindered by the convention. But not you are not, still you are not rejecting the convention. You are seen through the convention. You are an eyed person. You are observing but behave like a blind. You are a person with ears. You listen to a lot of things, good and the bad. But your reaction wise, your unassuming way is you are behave like a dead person. So likewise, when it is happening, it is give a very good comparison with respect to the Kaya Sankara, Vachi Sankara and Mano Sankara. If you are not meditating up to that level, how much we are outwardly, overtly trying to satisfy the outwardly, ultimately you are losing to yourself. That is why the Buddha says, whenever you are going to do this kind of thing, it is happening with the will, happening with the volition, happening with that intention. Therefore, all the will, all the volition and everything, at last, you have to understand, end up with suffering. As far as you are not choosing, if you are using the choiceless awareness, whatever undergoing any impermanence, it is not hurting you. But once you choose, select what you have chosen part when it is undergoing impermanence, that is hurting. That is the trick. That is the point you lose the grip. For example, a lot of things, a lot of products. When you go to the window shopping, you see a lot of things in the display. And underneath there is a price tag. And you need the money in your pocket. As far as you are doing window shopping, next day the product will destroy your kind of thing. Never mind, because it is not yours. But once you purchased, you have to maintain it. You have to, whenever it is undergoing any changes, it hurts you because you are selected. So as far as you are not selecting, it is belongs to the, as it is, you are not hurt. That is why Buddha says we are selecting, and after the selection, whatever you selected, you assume as mine, whenever it is undergoing any kind of impermanent of transient thing, you are hurt. So therefore selection is the key term, the issue that you are going to get suffering. Let them be as it is, use it for the utility value, use it for the moderation, and when under such circumstances, when even if it is undergoing any changes, it is not hurting you, therefore, whatever becomes sankhara is the what going to become anicca. Sankhara means you selected. If you are not selecting, even if it is undergoing changes, it won't hurt you. And any transient nature, impermanent nature, is the characteristic of suffering. in the Aryan usage. So therefore, let them be there, use it for the utility value, and don't select this me, mine, and myself. So it, you may find very difficult to deal it with the external three-dimensional world. But when you calm down your mind, when you calm down your breath body, and then the mentally the feelings happen, perception happens, manipulation happens, if you know they are mental, and you may find it is easy to disclaim them. And then this three-dimensional, so-called conventional thing. So there you must go into the meditation. In the meditation, you calm down your breath body and let this feeling or perception or sankhara or volition to happen. Individuals have their own differences. Whatever it happens, just understand they are just mind-made. Manopubbangama, manosetta, manomaya. So if it is so, why should you hold it to that? Just disclaim, this is not me, this is not mine, this is not my soul. More and more you disclaim it, you get a huge space, enormous space. And within that space, nothing to maintain, nothing to get committed, nothing to react, nothing to assume, but things are happening according to the universal law. You are just witnessing. No more than that. So that is why for what called insight or vipassana, you have a sight, kind of a sight. It's introvert, not overtly. And let the phenomena to take place by its own accord. And you get a step back or get a distance and observe. Otherwise, as far as you are shooting, as far as you are reacting, as far as you are manipulating, you get committed. And then only, whenever it is become impermanent, you get suffer. And the suffering going to happen, whether it is impermanent or suffering, or it is not, whatever may be, it is no pith, no essence, no soul. So therefore, while meditating, if you do not have the correct perspective, you are still in the trap. So meditation is one thing, that is direct touch. But you have to listen. You have to get the teaching of the Buddha. Then only both of them come into the coincide, and you are the one, then and there to get the relief. So, I doubt whether I have covered the complete the area related to the sankhara, but anyway, it is very, very invitive, very, very thought-provoking, but it will be so only for the successful yogis. Otherwise, it will be just philosophizing and mind game. So therefore, if necessary, tomorrow also I would like to take a little further into that. But meanwhile, you have to practice, you have to sacrifice and come to the most subtlest part of your breath body, corporeality, and then only you will be qualified to see these manipulations or manifestation or volitional dispositions, and they are you must understand how to disclaim. So this is what we call the generosity. We learn the generosity by giving the food, the clothing, and the drinks, and the, all the kind of things. But when you come up to this level, still you are doing the same thing, but on your likings and disliking, your concepts, your will, your intentions, everything going to give up, because each and everything belong to the truth of suffering. Up till you come up to that level, you will never give that label for this kind of thing. You harm them, you foster them, you sleep with it, you wake up with it. Ultimately, you think that is your asset. But the Buddha says, this is the very thing going to create this impermanent suffering. The day you see in this correct perspective, the mind will manipulate, mind will assimilate the meditative path, your future. So very first insight, very first sight itself is very critical, so but it has to happen in the correct perspective, and then onward you will see which Dhamma is to be associated, which friend is to be associated, which mood, which posture, which thing is conducive for you. Till that moment, till you understand it, you are completely, sorry to say, intoxicated freedom. You select whatever may be hurting you as your privilege. Whatever is releasing you, you consider as boring, monotonous, and fearful, not inviting. So therefore, you are the very person who is to discriminate it and select the bad thing. So therefore, take little time, patiently, try to harmonize this teaching of the Buddha as well as your direct touch. Ultimately, what is mostly happening is you understand the meaning of sankhara. And it's a lifelong experimenting. This is the gross or very brief explanation is to just break the first part knowledge and the magga and the fruition knowledge. For that, once you go there, definitely you know how to assimilate for the acceleration and the momentum. So therefore, simple I would say, in the meditative life, try to disclaim as much as possible, this is not me, this is not mine, this is not my soul. More and more you implement it, you will be closing more and more to the Buddha, more and more to the Dhamma, more and more to your Sangha, the co-practitioners, and more and more refining of your precepts. So that's all I thought of sharing for today's Dhamma talk. Thank you very much for listening. Today also little more than 1 hour, we'll say 1 hour and 20 minutes. So we have little time. If you have any questions or statements or any question or there are things to mention, you are welcome.
Yes, I would like to ask a question. What are the, in what ways conditions difficult for a woman to join the sasana? Because I find the feedback I'm getting is that it's very difficult and we are not going to be dying below.
What do you mean by sasana?
Sasana.
What do you mean? What is your definition for the sasana? Sasana means sila sikha, samadhi sikha, panya sikha. Sila Sikha, Samadhi Sikha, Panya Sikha. The moral training, concentration training and wisdom training. Both the others are conventional. The real meaning of sasana means three trainings. No sex problem. No male and female. You are the one imposing and you are holding the sasana as this. The ordination or renunciation. Renunciation is renunciation from this sense desire. No, there is no caste problem, no sex discrimination, nothing. Only qualification, you have to be a human. So that is why becoming a human is a blessing. It's due to the past good deeds. So don't try to see the weaknesses of it. Try to full-fledged live as a human. So get the definition, word definition of the sasana. Sasana is the word meaning is the message. Sasana is a written message or a verbal, vocal message. Sasana means message. Message is in the, message is, the message of the Buddha, Buddha Sasana, is Sila Sikha, Samadhi Sikha, Panya Sikha. Moral training, concentration training and the wisdom training. So, no age difference, no sex difference, no ordained, unordained difference, no Buddhist, non-Buddhist difference. These are all the convention.
Within the day life, there are
So, this that you can give up, and if you are a member of the, you will decide it, or literally, which you are using. So, bhikkhu bhikkhuni is a convention, it is given by the convening, the name. So, if you understand what is the for example, any profession in the world, there are certain qualifications are there, there is a particular uniform is there is a particular oath system is there, that is how you become a professional person. So, it happened very recently, even before these people were practicing, but now it has been institutionalized. As to institutionalize, there are certain qualifications and all the kind of things. They are conventions. So, you have to think beyond that. You have to think, see through them. Otherwise, you will be caught up with this, all the conventional things. And my best example is the males, they have enough chances to become monks. Who the hell is going to consider it? No one is considering it. They hold into their day life, renunciating, not happening, and leave it aside. Now see, sorry to tell you, to see, already renunciated so-called monks, what they do? Still pathetic. They never think about Sila Sikha, they never think about Samadhi Sikha, they never think about Panya Sikha. They become mudalalis. Again, back to the same thing, only the external change. So, they have the chance. One thing is not using, even if you are using, misusing. So, they have, oh, what is the benefit? What is the facility? What is the thing you get by becoming a monk? Nothing. Even before becoming a monk, if you get a correct by your perspectives, then it's a different story. To make your correct perspective, whether male or female, don't make it a burden. Keep it open. So we did, you better read that, we did for the last two retreats on the Susima Sutta. Susima Sutta is a very revolutionary kind of sutta. I will just give the gist of it. During the time of the Buddha was in the Rajagaha with King Bimbisara. Yes. And his fame is coming like anything. Everyone is coming and supporting the Buddha and the disciples. So all the other monks, heretics monks, they are slowly losing their popularity. So they got together and discussed. Now it is very obvious thing. The Buddha and the disciples are in the gain and the fame and all the kind of thing. And we don't have any tools, we don't have any means. So we are daily by day becoming unpopular. So one clan got together and they said, their leader was Susima, why don't you go and become a monk and learn the secret and come and tell us. So we can regain our gain, the fame and all the kind of thing. So because Susima is a bright case. Monday. So ultimately Susima approached Venerable Ananda. Then luckily or unluckily Ananda bring him to the Buddha. The Buddha says, okay, give the ordination. The Susima become a Susima, the monk, the bhikkhu. Now he is waiting to get the gist of the teaching. The secret, how to get the gain, the fame and all the kind of things. One day he see a group of monks came to the Buddha and says, Bhante, we have finished our meditative life. We achieved what we are waiting for. We are fulfilled that by our renunciated life. Then Susima came to know that particular monk should have now the secret. So he go behind that monk, a group of monk, and go there and ask, do you have the divine eye? That monk says, no. Do you have the divine ear? No. You have the capacity to walk on the air? No. Can you make all the magics, make few people in the one sense? All that? No. So he's asking, do you have Arupajjana? No. So she was completely mixed up and desperate. Because he thought that is the secret. To get the fame and the gain, the magic must be there. I mean, that is all Buddhist ability. Everyone thinks there should have a certain amount of some undeclared mystics or magics. And that is why the attraction. So Susi was desperate. Ultimately, he go to the Buddha. He says, Bhante, that these particular monks came to you and declared about their achievement. I asked them, they say, yes, they have achieved. But they have known the divine eye, divine ear, the magics, and all the seven things, and the past life and future, reaching the mind and kind of thing. Then they, instead of giving an answer, the Buddha says, Pumbe vaso ko susima dhammattiti jnana pachanibbana. He says, Susima, first of all you have to establish on the Dhamma, then only the Nibbana will be an option. Then Susima was completely confused. He can't understand. He came for the quick method. He came for the mystics. Then he says, I can't understand. Then the Buddha says, whether you understand or not, Susima, first you have to establish the establishment in the Dhamma, then only you have the option of Nibbana. Nowhere. Then Buddha is asking, do you think the agglomeration of the corporeality is a permanent or is a pleasurable? Do you have any essence in it? And he says, no. You take that the feelings, is it permanent? Is it leading to happiness? Or is it has any essence? No. So likewise, he gives all the five aggregates. The Susima gives the due answer. And then Buddha take it. If someone needs to get rid of this death and the old age, no point of way out for the death and the old age unless otherwise he do away with the birth. Birth is a crude cause, but you never think about the getting rid of the old age and the sickness and the death. You think after the birth you want to have the long life and the healthy life. Buddha says nonsense. Sorry for the doctors. Whatever the songs you are going to sing, the old age and the death will never change by a picture. It will be the same. And then the Buddha says, the jati, the birth. And then what is the root cause of the jati? It is the existence. And he will bring back to the avijja. And then Susima get kind of an establishment of the Dhamma. And now Buddha asks, do you have divine eye now? Do you have the divine ear? Do you have the capacity to read the other mind or the past? He says, then one day, excuse me, I came to rob the gist of it. So I am a robber. I am a filthy person. Please pardon me. Then the Buddha says, if such a robber is caught up with the king, he will put the red flower and vacuum and go there and behead you. Is it happy? Happiness? No, he says it's utter suffering. Then he says, the king is going to dehead you. Capital punishment. But I would say it is good if you come to this sasana and going to misuse it. Not only one time, thousand and one times you have to suffer like this. So therefore it is good that you understand the correct perspective and I am ready to give you pardon, I am pardoning you. And then only the Susima come into being. It's a very clear sutta. Everyone expects some kind of a mystics in sasana. Not that there are no mystics. You have to see whether it is there is a mystics or not once you established in the sasana, in the teaching. Not as the people, those who have no profound understanding, that is the way mystics, that I am so happy, I am so, how do you call it, privileged, even before learning the Buddhism. This is the first lesson I came to. If any mystics, that is filthy. That is my simple. Any mystic, that is filthy. Anyone talk about that, I will say, thank you very much, mind your own business. No. No dealings. So this is the group I feel met in the Veluvana Dhamma group in the university. The elderly people, they told, the Buddhism means one-to-one relationship, no mystics. Mystics will happen as an endowment, a byproduct later. But if you are looking at the mystic, mind you, you are completely misinterpreted. You are ultimately suffering. So anyone in the sasana or outside, if someone going to do miracles, it's a very good sign for me. Get a distance from that kind. So therefore, my criterion to select people, or the noble friends, very straightforward. Those who are willing to try, willing to strive, whether it's a Muslim or Catholic or male or female, I don't care. But those who are expecting something, mystics or opportunities, worst kind of lot. Not to have any relationship. So when I am delivering the talk, so much of objections came. Because 40 people, sometimes 60 people, many are chasing behind this ability, that ability, magics and all the kind of thing. And they ultimately accuse almost telling that I am not believing even the mystic power of the Buddha. Then I don't know. As an endowment, if it happens, no problem. But if you are chasing behind that, no. So therefore, all the best literature so far I have read. Not that the Sri Lankan monks are not talking about that. Venerable Jnanarama and Venerable Ananda Maitreya mention about that. But recently came across one Mahayana Sutta known as Surangama Sutta. At the end of the Surangama Sutta, it says the kind of hallucinations, kind of misunderstanding, kind of misinterpretation that can happen for the successful yogis, very nicely enumerated. And you can see what is happening in Sri Lanka. Each and everyone has particular name. This is the trap. If you do not know, if you do not disclaim it, this is the trap you are going to fall. If you are not disclaiming that, this is the trap. So vivid. Last time I met Bhikkhu Bodhi, I told Bande, this cannot be an imagination, there should have a truth behind it. He told, you better read a particular book, particular translation, it's very authentic. So he forget about, before this time I go there, he sent me a copy, Surangama Sutta, this much of a thick book. At the end, it says, the traps for the successful yogis, specifically with respect to the perception. It is very relevant. When I read again Venerable Jnanarama, he had a very clear understanding. He has written here and there, maybe he had the Sanskrit understanding. Sanskrit base for the Mahayana sources. And that is why today many the wrong meditation teachers are misleading people. The teachers themselves, they don't know the danger of it. So therefore leading this and there, that way, and this mystic and that mystic. So people going behind, the blind person behind the blind person going. But when I go to Pandita Rama, Pandita Sahaja told, Vipassana means one-to-one relationship. No mystics. And you are the only endowed person for this kind of endowment. Let them happen, but don't go behind it. But anyone, someone is claiming, do away with it. Which is very dangerous. So therefore, this is, in a sense, scientific. You can prove it. You can repeat it. Not mystics. So therefore, any idea you have mystics, just on the wholesale business, throw away. Do meditate. If it is necessary, if it is, endowed, if it is entitled, they will come. Even then, don't claim it. Just put them as something inferior in quality with compare the inside of ideas.
This is
Sushima is the one on this the last, it was about 11 or 12 talks happened in two retreats. One thing is the early part, the second retreat, the second part. These talks are not being published yet. Soon it will come into the internet.
Singular.
Vachisankara also, as a Sankara is concerned, you must mention it. Vachisankara is Vitakka Vichara, according to the Chula Vedala Sutta. But it is strange enough, in the Girimananda Sutta and Anapanasati Sutta, it has not been mentioned. And Vitakka Vichara definitely come in the first jhana to the second jhana, in the concentration meditation. First jhana to second jhana, you drop Vitakka Vichara. First jhana, you have Vitakka Vichara, Piti Sukha Ekagata. Second jhana, you have Piti Sukha Ekagata, you drop. So, Upanishad had to give an interpretation. He says, when you come to the Sammasana Jnana, in the Vipassana, from the Pachya Parigraha to Sammasana Jnana, this dropping happens. And when it happens, you must not vehemently go there and note it. If the mind is naturally observe the object without noting, you must promote it. Don't mechanically note it. If it is so, your concentration will be disturbed. So therefore, when at a time Vitakka Vichara drops, naturally drops, so you must clearly have a sensor at that time not to redo it artificially in the Vipassana way. But in the Samatha way, it is you make a conscious determination, may I go to the second jhana, which is free of Vitakka Vichara. But it is not being mentioned in the Anapanasati Sutta or in the Girimananda Sutta.
What happens there, and then that you are talking Vachisankara in that
it is called applying thought and discursive thoughts. Applied thought means that when you are sitting and observing, calm down, you have sounds, some thoughts, some bodily feelings and the anapana. Under such circumstances, you have to apply the mind to the anapana. That is called applying thoughts. Because all the things are try to enter into the stream of consciousness. They are at the doorstep. So what you give the priority is decided by your application. So this is called applying thoughts. And just not by applying thoughts, you have to go there and taste it. See the natural characteristics of it. See the features of it. That is called discursive thoughts. Analytical thoughts. You are just not going and touch and come. You try to feel it. This is called vichara. Vichara means the inquiring nature, the inquisitive and discursive and see the natural characteristics. So, before uttering a word, your mind has to go through these two. You have to select, this is the one I am going to talk with, and I am going to talk this subject. Even we know or not, we note it or not. So, therefore it says that when the devata or the celestial being going to listen us, they are not listening to our verbalization. They listen to our vitakka vichara. So before we uttering, before we articulating, they know what we are going to tell. Which is, before putting into the product out, this is in the factory. First applying thought and then discursive thoughts, then only the articulation happens. So therefore it is called vachi sankara. So that is the danger in the sanya. So they sometimes without going to jhana, they assume they have got the jhana. That's one thing. And the second thing is due to the pressure and all the kind of thing, they think it is transcendent. And sometimes they make a determination and it appears like what's it. Ultimately they assume themselves and keep long time thinking that they are in their own dream world, but one day everything collapse and then ultimately they blackguard Buddha, even they blackguard Dhamma, the Sangha, because they are in their own value judgment. So therefore when Vijnanarama used to say, always underestimate your achievement, that is safer. If you are there, if the perception is going to upper hand, you are overestimating yourself. That is how the conceit happens. So don't leave any room for the conceit to happen. So discard it. It is not me, it is not mine, it is not my soul. Even the jhana happens, even the magapala happens, you disclaim it. No harm. If it is real, it will come back. If it is not real, it will leave you. So therefore, always be humble. Be down to earth, be a beginner, be underestimating yourself. But don't do underestimating others, that is none of your business. You have to limit it to yourself. If you refer to the Visuddhi Magga, it says, to go to the first Magapala, Sotapanna, at least you must be at the first jhana. To be Arahan, you must be at least up to the fourth jhana. And that is the way literally can answer this question. So it is not, may not be the conventional jhana, but the mind must be purified functionally up to the jhana level. Functionally it is there, but may not be completely conventionally accepted as jhana, because the vipassana jhanas are very momentary. Momentary concentration functionally come in bhavit, the first jhana capacity, then only it can understand things as they are, feel the natural characteristics then and there, and maintain it for a while. You have to a certain amount of momentary concentration, otherwise impossible. It's called functionally, sadhisu upachara in the Pali. In English it says functionally you have to be at least after the first jhana. The person may or may not be aware of it. He knows what is happening functionally, that you see the breath, 1001 breaths in one breath, you feel heat, cold, stiffness, tension, movements, all kind of thing, rather than my breath, rather than the this and that. You feel, you experience, that is called, you suck the sap of the breath. You don't call it me. When the muscle dance happens, you try to know, you are not trying to see whether it is left hand or right hand, you see the movement. you see the shaky nature. That is how your mind is not carried away by the obsession kind of dependence. It's pure. It can see things in their correct perspective without claiming this is me, this is mine, this is my soul. You see the nature. You see the characteristics, natural characteristics.
I think the prasana jhanas and the sankha jhanas in terms of the hindrances, the level of suppression, are they the same?
Yeah, functionally the same.
And then what is experience, the sankha jhanas versus the prasana jhanas? Broadly, how would the yogi experience of the prasana jhanas?
Vipassana jhana means you can keep the primary object for longer. More and more you keep, you penetrate into the object. And more you go there, you see first the individual characteristic of the in-breath and out-breath. And more you go, you end up with the common characteristics. When the common characteristics happens, you lose the sense whether it is internal or external. And you lose the boundary. You feel the nature with unbiased manner. So, for this to happen, the mind must be free of hindrances. I mean, if the sense desire, kama chanda is there, you can't see things as they are because you have the liking and disliking. If the hatred is there, you select one thing, you hate other things. But in the vipassana to happen, you must have choiceless awareness that there is no kama chanda. No patiga, no sleepiness, no doubting, no regret, no future excitements. Then only you can be with the present moment. So therefore, functionally, it is almost like the first jhana.
Do you call vipassana jhana or vipassana jhana?
If you go to the supermarket, both the way. So that is why my teacher, who Pandita, he has written in this life itself, there's a one chapter Vipassana Jhana. There is a challenging, he says, he gives the parallelism, he gives the comparison between Samatha Jhana and Vipassana Jhana. And you find there's a kind of insight over there. Mahasi Sayadaw, he has mentioned that functionally they are same. But Pandita Sai to go on beyond, he says these are the characteristic features of the first jhana and that is happening at the this jhana. And this is the second jhana, it is happening in this jhana. Like he has given it with respect to the five hindrances and the five jhana factors. Okay, today we reach 10 o'clock. Hope there are no more questions, so I invite to sum up the day's program. So today is the third day, so far things happen very nicely, thanks to all the seen and unseen beings, help organized and supported, and may they share the merit that we are offering with our generous mind. And may all the dear and near ones share with us wherever they may be by paying attention and rejoicing with sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And may also us, with out of our merits and the skillfulness, straighten our objectives and remind it again and again. With that idea, we are going to recite the traditional stanzas and the Shyadabhyada Minit with all the beings in the world. Ittāvatācakammehi tāmbhataṁ puñya-samratam sabbhi devānamodantu sabbha-samphatti siddhya. Ittāvatācakammehi sambhataṁ puñya-samratam sabbhi bhūtānamodantu sabbha-samphatti siddhya. Ittāvatācakammehi sambhataṁ puñya-sampadaṁ sabbhi sattānumodantu sabbha-sampatti siddhya.
ආකාසත්තා ච බුම්මත්තා දීවානාගා මහිත්‍තිකා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු ශාසනං ආකාසත්තා ච බුම්මත්තා දීවානාගා මහිත්‍තිකා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනං ආකාසත්තා ච බුම්මත්තා දීවානාගා මහිත්‍තිකා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මං වරං ඉදං වූ ඥාතීනම් හෝතු සුඛිතා හන්තු ඥාතියෝ ඉදං වූ ඥාතීනම් හෝතු සුඛිතා ඉදං වූ ඥාතීනම් හෝතු සුඛිතා හන්තු ඥාතියෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමු සතං සමාගමු හෝතු යාව නිබ්බානපත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමු සතං සමාගමු හෝතු යාව නිබ්බානපත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමු සතං සමාගමු හෝතු යාව නිබ්බානපත්තිය සාදු 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 අභිවාදන සීලිස නිච්ඡං වද්දා පචායිනෝ චත්තාරෝ ධම්මා වද්දන්ති ආයුවන්නෝ සුඛං බලං ආයුරෝග්‍ය සම්පත්‍ති සග්ග සම්පත්‍ති මේ විච සම්පත්‍ති මේ නිබ්බාන සම්පත්‍ති මිනාතේ සමිච්ඡතු සාදු සාදු සාදු